You're listening to a Dwell Community Church production. If you'd like to check out more resources, visit dwellcc.org.
All right. Hi. Good to be with you guys. I'm going to talk about raising peacemakers today. And like Sherry said, I have raised a couple of kids, and I've also had the opportunity and privilege to work with a lot of people who are in conflict. So I've had a lot of experience over the last several years. I feel like that's been awesome. I also feel like this topic is huge. So, you know, you're going to get just a little tiny look at it, but there's a couple of resources that I can point you to. And also, if you are someone who is raising your, you know, trying to raise your kids based on God's perspective, some of these things will be sort of like things you know about how to raise kids. But what I have found is that when our kids get into conflict, a lot of our thinking about these things like flies out the window. We really have a hard time thinking about basic spiritual guidelines or basic even relational guidelines. When we find ourselves in the midst, especially, it happens to us too, but especially with our kids, because we just get focused on them and their needs, and we sort of like start looking horizontally at who's hurt them and who's against them, and we just become very, what I call this horizontal perspective, like people to people, without bringing God into the picture. So here we go. We're gonna talk about what peacemaking isn't, just briefly, and then we're gonna talk a little bit about relational wisdom, and we're gonna talk about conflict beginning in the heart. And then we're going to talk about responses to conflict. And then finally about choice, teaching our kids how to make choices. So the first thing is what peacemaking is not. It's not being a doormat. It's not just like never having a conflict, never talking about difficult things. Sometimes we can think being a peacemaker means I just keep my mouth shut and I never wade into anything. That's actually not true. So that's a picture of sort of someone who just isn't involved, actually. But in fact, learning to be a peacemaker, I think, is one of the hardest things to do because it takes a lot of backbone. It takes a lot of self-discipline. So it will require things like speaking the truth. Being a peacemaker includes telling people the truth about how you feel, about how they're impacting you, about the decisions that they're making. Also, it requires wading into conflict, not just running away and pushing it to the side, seeing it as an opportunity, though, for God to work. It requires a strong identity and willingness to serve. So the strong identity, one of the benefits that comes from having a relationship with Christ is that God forgives us, he loves us, he accepts us perfectly. And that enables us to have an identity as a child of an all-powerful God, which changes the way we view things and the way we interact with people. It gives us a strength about who we are that comes from outside ourselves, which is really cool. It also requires helping our children develop character. So as parents, one of the main things you're going to see today as we go through this stuff is we're trying to help our kids develop strong characters. This is a spiritual endeavor that needs God at the center. We have an access to the help of a loving God. And so, you know, as we start to think through these things, it's real helpful to know that we can tap into who he is and the strength that he can give us and the wisdom he can give us. I'm gonna talk for a minute about, not a minute, a little longer. One of the things that we need to do to help our kids become peacemakers is to emphasize becoming relationally wise. That means the idea of relational wisdom is how do we teach our kids how to relate to other people? And in Ken Sandy's work, he teaches, he's the one who wrote Peacemaker. He teaches about this idea that if people can keep these three things in mind in relationships, they can become better at relating and better at working through conflict. And these things are being aware of self, being aware of others, and being aware of God. And then the coupling that with not just awareness, but being engaged or doing, what do we do with what we're aware of about ourselves? What do we do with what we're aware of other people? What do we do with our relationship with God? So I'm going to talk about each of these a little bit. So the first thing of being self-aware, what we want to do is help our kids understand themselves. A big part of that is helping them understand their emotions. We need to give them time, and they need to be able to learn to share what they're feeling in situations. And we need to help them name their emotions. This is really important and something that I think even as adults, we're not that good at times, being able to figure out what we're feeling. And I just have a couple examples of the feeling wheel. Like for a little kid, obviously you can make it very simple. For an older kid, they're gonna have more options. But there's a lot of research about how our feelings can take over our actions. And there's a lot of research about how if we help our kids name their feelings, they're able to make better decisions after figuring out what's going on with them. So this self-awareness is really important in terms of helping our kids to relate with other people. Then there's the idea of being aware of others. So we need to teach that other people are valuable. You know, ask yourself, how do you talk about others when you're talking about others to your kids? My mom was really like, when I was growing up, she said this statement a lot, that people are more important than things, which is very simple. But it really had a big impact on me, this idea that human beings are valuable. She lived this way, she modeled it, and she taught me that human beings are really valuable. And I think that's something that we really want to teach our kids. We need to teach them that it's important to think about other people. Like Sherry was just saying, the world doesn't just revolve around them, even though they feel that way a lot. Philippians 2:4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So we have this from God's perspective. It's important for us to think about other people. Also, some other ideas are to help your child stand in someone else's shoes, to try to see things from their perspective, to use books and stories to help them identify with other people, to ask good questions like, how do you think she felt? How might your words have hurt him? How would you feel if that happened to you? Like just, this is just, you know, things that we know about how to help our kids become empathetic and care for people, but it's also something that we need to be deliberate about. And then being God aware. Okay, it's really important for our kids to know that God is involved and he's always at work. It's important for them to know that God knows everything. Think about being in a conflict. It's really important to know that the God of the universe is aware of what's going on and he knows stuff, but we don't know everything. It's important for them to know that God is big and he's able to do beyond what any of us think. That God is always with them. What a sweet thing for our kids to internalize that they have the God of the universe who's always with them, even when they're in the middle of conflict. And some ideas are things like to help them be God aware, using stories to make this real. Like I think of the story of Daniel, the idea of the decisions that he had to make in the middle of conflict and knowing that God was with him the whole time. help them learn, really learn about who Christ is, his character, what he did for us, his sacrifice, just the love, the depth of his love for them, and figure out ways to emphasize remembering how God's been faithful in their lives. I think of this idea of, there's an idea in the Old Testament that God tells the people to make a monument out of rocks to memorialize the way he was faithful. And I think about that in our families. How can we make monuments to God about how he's been faithful to us? How can we help our kids do that? Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's actually physical type things. Maybe it's like discussions. Maybe it's just monthly or yearly reflection. But this is a great way to help them be aware that God is involved and he's with them and he's able to help them through whatever they're going through. So then the other side of this, being aware, is knowledge, but being engaged is, what do you do with that knowledge? So for a self-engaged, to be self-engaged means to be self-disciplined, to understand. You understand what your emotions are, you understand what your thoughts are, but now we need to help kids know that they cannot control what others do and say to them, but they can control what actions and language that they use. And we're going to talk about choice quite a bit at the end. We need to teach them the importance of thinking before acting and speaking. So this idea is just great to be aware of your thoughts and feelings now. How can you make decisions that are managing that instead of just letting that rule you? Other engaged, of course, is teaching the importance of serving others, like Sherry was just talking about, next parenting meeting. Serve others as your family and explain to your kids why you do what you do if you're serving other people. You can teach, we all teach sharing, even from a super young age, teach sharing with their things, teach hospitality through having people into our house, and teach giving our financial means, giving by our emotions, our time, and emphasize just an outward focus. That's how we can put into place this idea that we're saying people are important, but now we're living that out. And how can we help our kids do that? Man, I had one of my children was much more reserved person. And we had people over a lot. And it was like a part of our ethic that we, you know, engaged with people all the time. And boy, it was hard on this child of mine sometimes, because there were times that this child would have liked to just have some alone time, not having, you know, not that we didn't also get alone time. So, but I can say that, and I think I've said this in another parenting meeting, that this child would say that was actually really helpful because it helped to get that hospitable outward focus. And then God engaged. This is all about helping them develop a personal relationship with God. Teach them the importance of biblical truth. Teach them the importance of talking to God and being honest with God. Teach trusting God by taking scary steps of faith. That means, what that means is, teach them to know that they can trust that God's got their back and they can choose to be kind to someone even if they're scared to do that, or to wade into a conflict even if they're scared to do that. And we can teach our kids that God can change us, and we can teach them the idea of imitating Christ. So what I want to say about relational wisdom, it might not be 100% clear why that is related with raising peacemakers, but children who learn how to grow in relational wisdom will be more prepared to deal with conflict effectively. It's just a fact. If we know how to love other people, if we know how to be honest about ourselves, we're going to be better at relating with other people and dealing with conflict when it arises. All right, then we need to help our kids understand about conflict. So, super important to know, conflict is normal. It's just part of this life. We live in what the Bible calls a fallen world, full of flawed people. And the truth is we have conflict. We all end up having conflict of some sort. Well, you guys probably all have children, so you probably already know this, that you have conflict. Little kids bring conflict into our lives. Marriages bring conflict into our lives. So it's just a matter of fact. It's normal. But what I think is important is we have to try to think about conflict as an opportunity rather than as a nuisance or, you know, just something we don't want to deal with. It's actually an opportunity for a lot of things. It's an opportunity to see what God can do through a hard situation. It's an opportunity to depend on Him because maybe we're facing something that's a little bit scary for us, difficult for us, taxing emotionally. And it's an opportunity to go to Him and actually depend on Him to be able to help us. And it's an opportunity to represent Him to other people. So when we're in the middle of conflict, you know, left to some of our own devices, conflict just might become a horrifying experience where we're at the end of the rope, we don't know what to do, we're treating people badly, they're treating us badly. But this is actually an opportunity to think about conflict in a way where we can represent love to people even despite having hardship with each other. It's also important for our kids to understand that conflict is necessary and good sometimes. This is, I make up stats a lot, so that's why I'm kind of stumbling here with my words. I want to say something that's not true. I want to be like, I think it's like studies show that 9% of people really like conflict and, you know, 91% don't. It's not true. I don't know. But I mean, the number of people who actually like conflict are limited. Most people don't. But it's important to understand that conflict is necessary at times and good. Sometimes we need to stand up for what is right in a conflict. Sometimes we need to correct misrepresentation of God. This is something that you see with Christ. He actually will wade into conflict, not when He has been personally hurt or offended, but when somehow people are representing God wrongly. Like they're saying that God's a certain way that He's not. They're saying God's unloving or He doesn't care about people or something like that. And Christ will wade into that conflict very, very aggressively at times. And we also need to teach them that it's important to learn to share our opinions with others who think differently. That's just part of something that we have to teach our kids how to do in this world. I don't have time to go into tons of detail about that, but just something to think about. But with all of these things, when conflict is necessary, even when it's good, we need to help our kids to speak respectfully and listen to others. So part of representing Christ in a conflict is treating people with respect and being able to listen to other people's views. Now, one of the things that is, I think, a really key piece of information to think about when we think about conflict, what the Bible teaches is that conflict actually comes from within us, in our hearts. There are conflicts that come from outside. Obviously, there's circumstances and things like that. But in terms of helping our kids to become peacemakers, it's important to think like we can help them with this aspect of it because a lot of conflict comes from the heart. So in James 4, it says, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is the source not your pleasures that wage war in your body's parts? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder, and you're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." Basically, James is like, the majority of conflict comes from our selfish hearts. We see this with little kids. No one has to teach a little child to steal a toy from someone else. We don't teach them that, but they all learn how to do that, to take it, to take what's mine. I remember one of my friends, I can't remember who it was, but said, their kid's first word was, you know, dada, no, and mine. So this is the idea that by nature, a lot of conflict comes because we want what we want, and we cause quarrels because of that. Our kids are the same way. Jeremiah 17:9, this is a harsh statement. It says, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? He's saying that as people, we actually have deep flaw in that we're born selfish. We are born to take care of ourselves. And we need to believe that about ourselves, to believe that in the fallenness, as I'm calling that, of our kids. What do you guys think? This is a discussion question. In what ways is it easy to believe, and in what ways is it hard to believe that our kids are sinners or fallen, or that they have this kind of selfishness in them? Are there things that you can think of that make it easy to believe that? Or are there things that you can think of that make it like you have a hard time believing that? So many things. I think this is sort of like a weird, we see it, and sometimes we'll see it real clearly, like in the not being willing to say sorry. But I think also we love our little babies. I mean, they were like little babies, you know? And so we're like, they're somehow we want to, and we should think, you know, well of them and stuff like that. But I mean, somehow we sometimes want to think that they don't have quite the same dark heart as someone else. So everything that you guys said is so good on that. So it's important to teach the idea that our kids need to understand their sin. Also, we need to understand their sin. If we don't understand their sin, we'll have what I'm calling a sub-biblical view. That means the Bible says that we all have these selfish hearts. So if we don't teach that, if we don't think that, if we don't understand that, we're thinking something that's not biblical. Also, what happens with us as parents is if we don't understand their sin, we always will jump to their side in every argument. And I mean, this is where I'm saying, like, in conflict, somehow some things that we know just fly out the window when suddenly we feel like our kid got hurt by someone and we just like come immediately mama bear to their defense, not really knowing like what their role was in that. And we'll be defensive when people try to address things with them. And this can go down as young as a little preschooler and all the way up to adult. When someone's trying to help our child by pointing out something, if we don't understand this thing about them, we are going to be defensive. And we will not, if we don't understand this, we won't help them draw close to God with a grateful attitude for their forgiveness. The great thing is God offers forgiveness for all of us. The reason that we can look this square in the eye and say, yes, my child has these flaws, is because it's covered by God's acceptance. And so if we don't believe that, we're not going to be pointing them in the direction of them experiencing that forgiveness. If our kids don't understand their sin, they won't own their own choices. They might frequently blame other people. They might adopt the view of a victim because they're like, all these things are done to me. I didn't have anything to do with it. They will not experience the level of grace or acceptance that God has for them. It is that great love that enables us to be honest and say, yeah, I messed up. How will we help them practice one of the most profound verses for dealing with conflict if we don't understand or help them understand sin? In Matthew 7, it says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So This is a great verse that's pointing us in the direction of having a conversation over conflict and saying, you know, if we're going to go into that conversation, we have to be able to look at ourselves too. That's going to be the way to work through something, not just going in like ready to point at all the things that the other person has done wrong. If we don't believe in the flaws of our kids, we're not going to be able to think this way. So the benefit to them of understanding their sin is that they can understand their contribution. They can admit and be honest about their flaws. They can learn to apologize. They can ask for forgiveness. And they'll grow in humility, because the more we understand about ourselves, the more we're able to have a humble stance. And humility is one of God's high values. And it's something that actually, if you've ever been around someone who you think is a humble person, it's something that enables them to have good relationships, because their focus is not on proving themselves or always being right. So these things, these benefits are so important when it comes to, you know, our kids' character, but when it comes to them being able to make peace with other people. These are key to peacemaking. And I just want to say, these are actually key for anyone who wants to have a relationship with Christ for life and continue to what's called walk with him for life. These are key attitudes for that as well. So let's talk about some common responses to conflict. One common response on one end is escaping it, denying it, running away from it, blaming other people. Another side of it is the person who attacks in conflict. Maybe they fight, maybe they gossip, maybe they put someone else down. They're like taking an attack stance. So one is like runaway stance, one is attack stance. There's another sweet spot, and that's like the work it out. This is where maybe you overlook an offense, or maybe you talk it through, or maybe you get help if you need to. So you need to think about, this is rhetorical, you know, what is your tendency in this? And what is your child's tendency? Super important to know. It's something worth thinking about and praying about, and kind of like the sharing about, like, we're easy to kind of forgive our, you know, if their tendencies like ours, we're able to kind of identify and forgive it. But it's important for us to understand our tendency and theirs. So this is something that I think as parents, we need to take seriously, our tendency. Because if we're going to try to teach our kids to be peacemakers, we have to model and teach peacemaking ourselves. And so we need to allow God to sanctify or change us, teach us how to be in that sweet spot. And this is something that, I'll go back to this for a second. This is something that I feel like I've seen a lot with relationships that I've had now for, I mean, some of them I've had for 30 years. And the truth is, sometimes we just get stuck in our way of doing things. And we just continue to do it over and over again. And we can become, and we're going to talk about both avoiding and attacking, but either way we go, sometimes we can just stop taking it that seriously in our lives and just kind of let it run its course. And I think this is really dangerous for ourselves. I've seen a lot of relationships that after, you know, 20 or 30 years have started to fall apart because they never really took seriously the way they were responding to conflict. But think about your kids. Like, we need to take it seriously because we need to help them to be able to have that, a glimpse at least of the sweet spot of working things out. I am not saying that we need to be perfect by any stretch. We're never going to be as parents. And we can apologize and admit our wrongs to our kids too, and that goes a long way. But what I am saying is these things do have an impact on our lives, and they do have an impact on our kids' lives. So are you an avoider? This is what Ken Sandy calls a peace faker. Lean against your tendency. Let God teach you how to wade into conflict. Honestly address your own fear of conflict so that you can help your child not be afraid of conflict. This is tough. I have seen a lot of people who have avoided conflict a lot of their lives, and they are so scared to talk about things, even things that have really hurt them, and they just don't want to move forward to talk about it. We need to squash our beefs. You know, we need to figure out what's hurting us and what we can do to wade in. Are you an attacker? That's a peace breaker. Lean against your tendency. Take seriously the need to allow God to teach you how to practice restraint. So if you're someone who goes on the offensive right away, leaps up and wants to do something about it, yells at someone in their, you know, right to their face, right? You know, this person needs to learn to kind of think and pray and back up and take some time to consider what they really want to do. And this is an awesome chance for growth as a parent. Sorry, isn't that one of the things about having a kid? It's like, oh my gosh, now I have to actually think about these things that I, you know, kind of just let go before, because now it affects my kid. So then with our kids, we need to help them lean against their tendency. So if they're avoiders, we need to come alongside them and help them take steps to wade in. So if I'm an avoider and he's an avoider, then that's like, I gotta muster up my courage and strength and come alongside and say, let's kind of figure out what you can do here. Help them to be honest. Honesty is a huge thing with peacemaking. To address things that they, ways that they've hurt others, but also how they've been hurt, and to make a plan. What could you do about this conflict? And provide opportunities to take steps and let them see that it's possible. This is an awesome thing that you get to do while your kids are at home, so that when they leave your house, they've learned how to take some steps in these scary ways. So this can be even like family stuff, right? Like, we have conflict in our families, so we can help them, you know, maybe they felt like, you know, dad was a little bit short with them or something like that, and we can help them sort of like wade in and give them ideas of how they can talk about that. So it can be, it can start with family stuff, and then it can branch out into friend situations. If your kid is an attacker, give them some tools. Help them be able to take their own time out or just pause before they do something. And recognize, help them to recognize signs when they're getting to where they want to attack. So help them to figure out, this is part of that self-awareness. Help them to figure out what's going on with them when they start to feel like, I just wanted to reach over there and like push him. You know, it's like, help them to figure out what that feels like when it's leading up to it, and how can you choose to kind of take a step back. And help them to understand the damage of things like verbal attack, like gossip or putting other people down, or, you know, it's not just, attack isn't just a physical thing. It also can be like a very verbal thing. Now, this is very broad, and you know, you're gonna have a million different situations with your kids. So these are just ideas to sort of think through and pray through about your own child. Like, how can I help my child with his needs or her needs to know how they can like take a step that would be a positive step toward being a peacemaker? And then I think a huge thing that I think is so important is if we can help our kids to think vertically. And so if you believe that there is a God and that he is involved, then he is there and he has wisdom and he has a different way of seeing things than we do. And so when we're entrenched in that horizontal thinking, if we can possibly begin to teach our kids to think, what is God doing? What might God do through this? This is really life-changing, this idea of being able to be a vertical thinker. I really think it's one of the most powerful tools if we as people, and if we can train our kids to think, okay, God says he's involved. What might he do through this? That goes a long way to being able to help them to be patient in conflict, to think about things from a different perspective, to think about people from a different perspective. So the work it out ideas are just teaching good habits. Is this something so small that it can be overlooked? Does this have to be weighted into a big conflict? Just teaching them to talk through their hurt, to talk through conflicts. Like, teach them to talk about why and how this thing impacted them, but help them talk with their friends. How did this thing impact you? Now, obviously, if you have like a one-year-old, this is not the same, you know, it's not the same situation. But even, you know, even kids as they get to be, even kids as they start to get to be 4 and 5 and older, they can start talking about how things affect them and how they, you know, how they might have impacted someone else. Thinking about what could have been done differently. Teach your kids to get advice if they don't know what to do or what to say. Teach them that having a mediator is okay if they're really in a tough situation. I mean, this sounds sort of like, well, duh, but it's like, no, sometimes they don't, you know, they don't know if that's okay. So just teach them that it's good. It's good to get advice. It's good to work together with other people. And teach creative solutions. Like, think about, how could this be, you know, you guys both need the car Saturday night. How can we work this out? Okay, that's old kids. You guys both want to play with the same toy. What's a creative solution to that? Like, teaching them to think about, rather than being competitive where one person wins all, how can we be cooperative and come up with some creative ideas? And teach about what Ken Sandy calls charitable judgments, and I'm just calling benefit of the doubt. It's like, teach them to think about people and give them the benefit of the doubt. Sure, they said that thing that was hurtful. They might not have meant how you're taking that. This person has shown that they love you. How can you, like, think about the fact that maybe this was just a bad day for them, or maybe they didn't really mean exactly what they said. There's a whole paper on that. So teach choice then. The Bible teaches that our desires, they can lead to bad choices or good choices. So our desires can lead to things like being, you know, puffing up our pride, being envious, being greedy. But also that our kids, we need to teach them that they can choose against those desires. They can choose to practice patience. They can choose to show kindness in situations. They can choose to show mercy. What do you guys think? I think we teach choice all the time. I mean, in fact, there's a book, Logic and Love, that has a lot about choice. What do you guys think are some ways people teach choice to their kids, and how have you seen that be effective? You're showing that this thing of choice, you know what it is, and there's many ways to help our kids see that they can make choice, and that's true no matter what age they're in. There's appropriate ways, and so as we're trying to teach them how to deal with other people in conflict, choice is a huge thing that we want them to understand. So we want to teach them that they can control, like you're saying, like, want to try that again? You could control how you're doing this, even though you didn't do it the first time. Help them to learn to think about their choices before making them, which you guys are all giving examples of that. Discuss choosing between selfish feelings and what they know is right. So, like, helping them, again, that awareness comes into play. Like, this is what you want, but what could be some other ways that you could handle this? And again, you know, that's just, yeah, identifying their feelings and their desires, but teaching them to act against their feelings and sinful desires.
So the natural response, if we're just left to our own devices, will be more like blaming other people versus God's way is taking responsibility, covering up or lying versus being honest, or maybe just hiding your eyes in shame, making excuses or admitting wrong versus admitting wrong. And all choice is possible a lot because we have an identity in Christ and grace is abundant, forgiveness is abundant. So the more they understand that, like you said, getting help isn't bad. You're not going to be in trouble. There's forgiveness. So the last topic is teaching forgiveness is a choice. And of course, Ephesians 4 says, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So part of what we want our kids to learn is first, that they could have a personal relationship with Christ who offers forgiveness and eternal life simply for the asking. And then based on that love that he has, we can learn how to forgive other people. So we need to teach what forgiveness is not. It's not just a feeling. It's not excusing. It's not forgetting. And it's not a guarantee that someone's not going to do it again. We also have to help kids understand in a deeper way how they are forgiven by God. And we can use the Bible to help them to know verses. And we can also use other stories that show forgiveness, like the prodigal son is all about a son who wastes all his father's stuff, and then it's a picture of God, and the son comes back, and his father just completely embraces him and throws a party. So helping them with visual representation of what it looks like to show forgiveness. And we can also use stories to show the absurdity of, if you've been forgiven a lot, then holding someone to something that is a little. So there's a great story in Matthew 18 about someone who was forgiven tons and then goes and tries to get a little from someone else. So those things can help with the visual part of what does it look like to forgive. And then there's this book, it's called Young Peacemakers. This is by Ken Sandy's wife, and it's really sort of like just a workbook that's more geared toward younger kids. And she has in there these, to help our kids understand these four promises, if they choose to forgive, these four promises. I promise to think good thoughts about you and to do good for you. I promise that I will not bring up this situation to use against you. I promise I will not talk to others about what you did. And I promise I'll be friends with you again. And then she has this little poem, sort of. It's like, good thoughts hurt you not, gossip never, friends forever. So, you know, the idea is, you know, we need to teach our kids like what forgiveness actually is, and that it does include like actually letting go of things and not continuing to bring it up every time that it comes up, that we feel like we want to bring it up. So to raise a peacemaker, the focus is on character development, mostly. It's on trying to help our kids understand themselves, be honest about themselves, understand and seek to understand other people. It's about helping them nurture their relationship with God and trying to help them remember a vertical perspective. And it's about taking steps of faith. Honestly, that's how we grow, is things that are hard for us, we move forward. So those steps of faith might be learning to speak the truth, depending on your kid's personality, learning to speak the truth, or maybe it might be, for all of them, it will be practicing choice in some way, and for all of them, it will be learning to love and forgive in some way. So that's it for today. All right, well, God, thanks for all these ideas and all these great things that people said, and just the different ways you're already using these guys in their kids' lives so powerfully. And just pray that, you know, you would direct their thinking to If there's something that you want to impress on them, that you would just continue to remind them of that. And also, God, we do just pray for our kids that they would be people who have strong identities, who are able to learn to love people and to be able to stand when they need to, and to be able to make peace in a way that honors you. Amen.